Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
All right, here goes nothing. Welcome in. Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. We've got Coach Don Dunn hanging out with us here in the studio. I told Drew he could have the day off. Drew's been working hard.
Yep.
And doing some stuff on camp. He filled in for me this week a couple of times while I had some stuff to do. So I said, you know, Drew, I'll take the bull by the horns here. I'll get back into the pilot seat, and I'll push these again for folks who have never been to the ESPN 106.7 studios. Oh, I'm Dan Peck, by the way. But for folks who have never been to the ESPN 106.7 studios, I would say that the setup for the producer, it's reminiscent of Homer Simpson's workstation at the power plant, Sector 7G. George Jetson, yep. Maybe you could go with, yep. Too, you know, yeah, that sort of thing. You know,
that's more my time.
Yes, at Spacely's. And so there's a lot of I know what most of these buttons do. I don't have to, you know, but we're on the air, and we've got we've got Bill Cameron, who is still convalescing after yesterday's procedure, but should be feeling up for a phone call, a couple of segments as we are just. I mean, tomorrow is the start of the Division I college football season. Tonight, you got the high school football season, right. Starting locally. Wings 94.3 going to have Auburn High School football action tonight against North Miami Beach at the Duck. But you got Florida State and Georgia Tech tomorrow in the first game of the season from Dublin. We've got SEC teams in action. It's here.
Yeah.
And so, we're thrilled to talk to somebody who's enjoyed the ups and downs of this part of the year.
Right.
Right. The anticipation.
Yep.
But also, I mean, the busyness that I'm sure goes along with, yep, the start of the high school football season and the start of the college football,
yeah,
season.
Exactly. Coach Don. Right. Exactly. Right. It's an exciting time of year. Like you said, it seems like it takes forever to get here, but it's here. I mean, it cranks up tomorrow, tonight, high school. Some big games last night, an upset.
Is there something that happens during the calendar or an event that always made you think like, oh boy, that this is the end of the off season? Like we're in the,
yeah. Back in the old days, you know, when you didn't have open recruiting year round, basically, I always felt like the SEC meetings that kind of shocked you into, hey, it's here. You know, after the 4th of July, pretty much.
And as a journalist, I'd say media days,
right,
has sort,
exactly,
of a similar thing where, yeah, it stops feeling like a distant thing,
mm-hmm,
and more like you are at the beginning of it. And I feel like if the media days isn't the beginning of it and the start of fall practice isn't the beginning of the festivities,
right,
tomorrow, even if you're not playing week zero. Yeah. It's gonna feel more real than it has at any point, and then a week from now, practically everyone,
yep,
in action in college football, and some huge week one games.
Yes.
Like now, a week from now, we will be previewing, I think, one of the bigger, and we'll bring Bill Cameron in. Mm-hmm. Although I just lost Bill, we are going to bring Bill in shortly. Bill, I think, is going to call in and talk to us a little bit. But the week one slate is, I feel like, one of the bigger ones as far as seeing, you know, I mean, Notre Dame going to Texas A&M and, right, Florida Miami and the
LSU.
LSU's got USC, right?
Yes,
I mean, yeah,
yes.
Georgia Clemson is,
yeah,
is on the, I mean, it's just, wow, it's a packed slate of, mm-hmm, of really intriguing games and also, you know, some teams that aren't, maybe they're not playing a team that you would think of as, oh yeah, maybe they have the advantage of being a huge favorite in week one, but it's still a really intriguing season for that team, which is probably what I would say about this Auburn team.
Yeah, yeah, very important first game. I think we're blessed not to have one of those marquee games right off the get-go. We got a great home schedule in the month of September, something I've really never seen before, five straight home games, and then no games in October, which is crazy.
It's going to be a real shift. I mean, yeah, it's going to be going from five straight home games to, you know, then you play four or three straight SEC games on the road and in 4 weeks with a bye week in between.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, you're right, Dan. It's an exciting time of year. This week will be interesting. You know, you start really locking into game planning, try to get the kids some rest. I'm sure tomorrow they'll have a mock game, you know, a lot of situations. Get this team on, get this, you know, the special teams. You don't want to have any mistakes if possible. Too many men on the field, things like that just kill you.
What's the Saturday like? The last Saturday before the first game of the season.
Yeah, well, we always had like a game situation. We had a script, everything, you know, from the kickoff return. You know, the defense would go out. We'd have situations. Turnovers, sudden change, run the punt team out, two-minute drill, all those things. We had a big, long checklist and, tried to, follow that. You try to cover everything you can, every situation. And, we usually had coaches in the box using the headsets. This year is going to be interesting because the quarterback has a headset and the linebackers. So that's going to be something new they're going to have to really work on.
Yeah, not to be the nerdy theater kid here, Coach, but it does feel a bit like a dress rehearsal.
Exactly. exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get as many of the kinks worked out.
Right.
You know, and you don't want something to happen week one.
No.
That you should have ironed out.
Yes, you don't want to, and it's something's going to happen, but you want to try to be as smooth as can be. I've even known teams that even go to a hotel and do the whole pregame away from campus, the meals, the meetings, and
a week before the game, they'll simulate the trip.
I think Alabama used to do that. We never did that, but we did have the pregame meals and everything, trying to simulate.
You usually had the luxury of a lot of the roster coming back too.
Right.
In an era now where you might have 50 or 60 new players,
yeah,
I can imagine wanting to simulate as much of that as possible.
Yeah, because you're going to have freshmen that have never traveled. The nice thing is, it is home games. That's very important to play at home. But still, you've got to, you know, have the dress rehearsal, make sure everybody sets their clocks up 10 minutes early. You don't want your players being late. And it's just so many things that goes into the game and the preparation.
That is Coach Don Dunn, who we are thrilled to have in. I think could be a regular guest on Fridays.
I hope so.
On the show. I'm looking forward to that as well, Coach.
Thank you.
Bill Cameron, we had him earlier on. He has called back, so we'll get to Bill in just a second. He is on the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar, 334-321-1390, the number to dial. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. I was going to say, Bill, I was able to go and get some lunch yesterday, as a matter of fact. It was before player interviews. I was going to say it was earlier this week. It's been a busy week. First week of classes back.
Oh yeah.
But I was able to grab a little bit of lunch with our buddy Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer at the new restaurant, at the new location.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it's delicious. Everything I tried was outstanding. And last night, doing a little bit of driving, I saw our coach burning the midnight wood. Right, you're not burning the midnight oil.
No,
you're burning,
I hope not. I hope I'm not burning the oil because I'm in trouble if that happens.
Burning the midnight wood behind the new location there at Country's on Opelika Road. We've got Bill Cameron joining us on the phone. Bill, most importantly, how are you feeling?
I'm all right. I mean, actually, there's not the same kind of pain that I was having in my arm. It's just a little sore right now. I told Don we went out there Sunday. As a matter of fact, it was delicious. Went out Sunday. Didn't see Don though.
No,
because he's long gone. And Matt was asking when is he here. I said, oh, in the late at night or early morning, whichever, however way you want to look at
it. Yeah, if you're going to go see Don, you got to bring some black coffee.
That's right.
Those are the house rules there, because it's a third shift situation
it's
up there.
It's the graveyard.
I love it.
Yeah, but everything went well. I mean, I guess I've got a big pad right now on the right wrist. So it's not throbbing. It's not hurting really badly. They just told me it says specifically in some of the follow up rules not to drive for 48 hours. I was trying to push that, but the boss here said no. She's not going to let me drive. So I'm feeling okay.
Well, Bill, and I was thinking. I mean, you can take another day here if you want with the. I mean, it's like I said yesterday. Like minor surgery happens to you, major surgery happens to me. I'm not gonna decide whether or not it's anybody's. How serious someone else's surgery is. It sounds like a serious enough procedure that you can take an extra day and work from home.
I'm not taking a day off.
You can work. You can work from home today. Is what I mean. I don't think it's too calamitous of a situation.
It was one of those good things. I mean, it was good in that. Again, I've never had a problem with anesthesia, so they'd asked me that, and you know, it's like, we're going to give you a little something to get you comfortable. And next thing I know, I'm dressed after the surgery. I mean, it's one of those where I much prefer it that way. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be watching what they're doing, and I take their word for it that everything went well. I mean, I'm still in the same number of pieces that I was in, so I think everything went well.
Yeah, Bill, if it were earlier in the off season, maybe we could pivot to call us with stories of when you were awake for surgeries, and we'd love to hear those.
That I want to hear those.
No, I don't think so either,
no.
Bill. But
no.
that's what you were dreading there with the carpal tunnel. That's not what ended up happening. So yeah, it's good to hear that you're feeling that you're on the mend and on the road to recovery and could be back in time for it. Yeah, we'll see what happens Monday. But it's game week, right, Bill? I mean, we were talking about it to start the show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just about here.
Well, it is. I mean, we've got college football starting at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning from over in Dublin, where are we still expecting to hear from Barrett Salee?
I will say I am skeptical.
I would think. We're hoping.
Yeah, I am optimistic and hopeful, but deeply, deeply skeptical that we're going to get a midnight call from our buddy Barrett in Dublin. Maybe next week he'll have to tell us about his adventures on the Emerald Isle as he takes in Florida State and Georgia Tech tomorrow live from Dublin. Phone lines open. I hope so. But that's a long distance call.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're not expecting him to pay for it or anything, but but yeah, it would be really cool if we did hear from him. But yeah, we can talk about that. But you're right; it is game week. How about Auburn picking up another big flip today as we're approaching a week away from the opening kickoff?
Yeah, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, Nate Marshall.
Yep.
Who had been committed to Michigan, and mm-hmm. he's from Illinois,
right?
Where I guess he and Bontrell King Williams from the same area there, and he's another very highly ranked player, the number two player in the state of Illinois, and on just about everybody's top 100 list. Man, again, this class for the 2025 class just keeps looking better and better.
Yeah, they had to recruit back in the Liberty days. A lot of guys on this coaching staff had to recruit metropolitan areas in big cities because that's where Liberty was able to find some success. You know, whether it was Washington D.C. or Metro Detroit or Chicago, and that's where I believe Vontrell himself is from. Is from Chicago, and he's
right.
He's got a lot of connections in the Illinois, Michigan, Ohio world of college of high school football, and I remember taking a call when Vontrell got the job about whether or not this could help further Auburn's recruiting in the Midwest and the Northeast. And sure enough, Auburn lands a pretty big defensive line flip from Illinois.
Yeah, Nate Marshall, I guess actually Rivals has him the number one player in Illinois, and they have him the number, I think, the number 69 player in the country. 24/7's got him the number 80. The composite that 24/7 has him as the number 46. So a guy that's definitely a top 100, maybe even a top 50 player in the nation, one of the top defensive linemen. And Don, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have too many good defensive linemen. There's no such thing.
No. You're exactly right. The more the better, and that's a big, big get. And, you know, Illinois plays good football, so that's exciting for us.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 270, so like the frame. And, boy, when you see him, he looks lean.
Yes.
I read was one of the recruiting, I think it was 24/7's guy, speculating on he might be initially an edge rusher who grows into a frame that puts him closer to the middle of the defensive line, depending on what happens. You know, he could be sort of a lean guy now, but could grow into more of not necessarily a nose, but a guy who's more of a strong side defensive end type of guy rather than a leaner, faster. You know, maybe to start, he could be more of a pass rush specialist on the edge. But I think that there's a chance he grows into an every down sort of outside defensive lineman.
Well, I mean, you look now with Keldrick Falk last year, Amaris Williams, everything we're hearing about him this year, and then Nate Marshall and other guys that they're recruiting. I mean, you're looking at those guys that are in the 6'4 to 6'5 range, 260 to 270, and can really run. Man, they give you so much versatility that you can use them. Don, we talked about it with Jay Ratliff, was a guy who was sort of, you know, along those lines as far as frame. And that the flexibility that allows you to be able to use a guy either inside or out with that size and ability, I mean, it's something really special.
Yeah, that's, like you said, a plus, no doubt. Anybody that's good an athlete that can move, you know, from inside to out or outside to in, able to, so flexible, strong, can run, change direction, all those things that a good D lineman has to have.
So it's an exciting time as the recruiting momentum, which seems like, you know, I would point to Big Cat as sort of a turning point. If you remember the calls, you know, how we were talking leading up. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just saying, people wondered when something going to happen because things seem to be a little bit of a lull. But since then, it has really been coming on, and, things really look promising here, even, you know, as we head up to next week. We already know that Deuce Knight, the Notre Dame commit quarterback from the state of Mississippi, is one of the guys that will be visiting next weekend.
Now, there are still – I mean, it's not a clear path to signing day. I mean, there are still landmines out there, right? Whether it's the – you know, there's the big one, which is the 2024 season. But you've also got, you know, what could happen around the country and things like that, obstacles that could pop up. But I would say the coaching staff – understanding that 2025 is a vitally important year for Auburn's recruiting, I think they're pretty happy with how the summer went as far as what they've been able to do to add guys to next year's list.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I saw someplace that we were like the top school for summer recruiting. I think ESPN has something about that. Yeah.
Well, they're number five, I think, in just about I think they're top five and just about everybody's rankings. That's one of the things that Coach Freeze and Teddy wanted, and they're by no means done.
We have the luxury, Bill, of the three of us, one of us has actually recruited student athletes like to Auburn with great success in the past. Something I've always heard about Coach is the way that Auburn's the aesthetic beauty of Auburn's campus and the climate when it's agreeable and things like that can help with people who are either outsiders to Auburn and its traditions or folks from far away. Did you find that to be true in your time recruiting to Auburn?
Yeah, no doubt. We always felt if we could get them on campus, we had a really good shot. The ones that we worried about that didn't make a visit, you know, until maybe late. The more you can get them here, the better. You can show them more and more things about Auburn, about the campus, about the people. The facilities now are top-notch. I mean, my gosh, the best in the country. And, yeah, we always felt if we could get them on campus, and we always tried to get them for a home football game, even if they came, you know, just for the game.
And yes, Auburn is, you know, if you're talking about proximity to major metropolitan areas, Auburn might be a little bit more remote than some other spots in the SEC. But you're 90 minutes from the Atlanta airport.
Right.
And this is a true story, Coach. When I lived in Los Angeles, I lived in the West Side, and I had to get to LAX one time, and it took me more than 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it took me more than 90 minutes to get there, living, you know, 13 miles away.
Yep.
And trying to get down the 405. So,
no,
you know, it's not as remote as, you know, it's amazing how small the world can become, you know, if you really need to,
right.
You know, things
exactly.
Like that. We're going to take a break and come back with more. We got Bill Cameron on the phone. We got Coach Don Dunn in the house. I'm Dan Peck. Stick around. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with the coach, Don Dunn, the pit boss himself. love having you around, Coach. Thanks for jumping on with us. Bill Cameron is recovering from home, but I think we're gonna test out the computer here and see if we've got Bill Cameron over Skype. Bill, can you hear us?
Yeah, it sounds actually better now.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Bill. sounding loud and clear on his
now.
End as well.
My question, Dan, is: are we going to need to go back to the phones before the end of the show? Will they need this for football tonight?
No, I think they use the other equipment for football.
Good.
I believe they have dedicated football for this. This is the
That's right. This is a home game.
Yeah, this some backups, you know. So we should be clear for the rest of the show. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Bill, because there is Auburn High School football tonight, live at the Duck. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 with Jacob and the rest of the gang doing the call tonight. You're not going to want to miss that, live on Wings 94.3. I think it should be an outstanding season. North Miami Beach coming up. From the tip of Florida, down in I don't know if they're actually Dade County or if it's one of the surrounding areas, but North Miami Beach in the house for the
yeah, that's a long road trip.
That is a long road trip.
I got a feeling it's going to be a long bus ride back for that team.
I mean they don't seem to have brought an overwhelming number of players, you know, especially I think compared to what is expected to dress for Auburn High School tonight, and you've also got it's a very good Auburn team that is coming into this season. We talked about it a little bit with Jacob in hour number two yesterday, and so yeah, I think it could be a good night for we'll see what happens, but it's you're right, long trip up for North Miami Beach for certain.
And then over on AU100, Lee Scott with their first game in the public school as a public school participant, taking on a school from down in my old neck of the woods, Excel. So that's coming up on AU100 tonight as well. So high school football is in full swing this evening.
Really looking forward to it. And then just a week from now, Auburn University football, the first game of the season, Auburn and Alabama A&M. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 as well. First game of the season for the Tigers as they look forward to what is a. I mean, we were talking about a little bit in the previous segment, Bill, a pivotal year for Hugh Freeze, not just on the recruiting trail, but on the field.
No. I mean, now you know everything up to this point has gone extremely well. Could have won a couple of ball games last year that they actually should have won a couple of ball games last year that they did not. But still, in year one overall for year one. You saw movement in the right direction. You've seen talent being added to the roster. The next step is to show improvement on the field, and they get that opportunity starting next Saturday.
They have to do something, and I want to get your input on this, Coach, because mm-hmm. they have to do something that's a, you know, a dangerous thing in college football, which is guys who didn't play all that much are in line for – well, you have true freshmen who look right. like they're in line for significant roles on the defense, but also guys who didn't play all that much last year look like they're stepping in and being the top backup maybe at a couple of spots. And what's the jump like preparing a guy who maybe took a red shirt last year or was a seldom used backup who played a lot of special teams, getting a player like that, really regardless of position, but I'd say especially on defense, getting someone like that ready for what they're going to see on the field, because some of these guys are going to play more in the first half of the Alabama A&M game than they played all of last season.
Right. You know, as a coach, you always like to have a red shirt player instead of a true freshman. But, nowadays, with all the changes and the turnovers, a lot of these guys, like you said, have not played. But the nice thing is, too, we have those games at home, in five games in a row, I believe, at home to bring those kids along. And, again, we're not opening, with like we talked before the show, with a big marquee opener, even though you got to take everybody, you know, serious. And they'll come to play. They'll give us our best shot. But, you know, that's the nice thing. If they're a red shirt, they have been in the program. They've been around. They've been through spring. They've been through, winter workouts. Summer workouts are so important. But, yeah, you'd much rather have a red shirt playing than a true freshman, especially in the D-line thing, you know, with the big positions like the O-line, D-line.
I get the feeling that Hugh Freeze – at a couple of spots is taking a guy who took a red shirt instead of going into the portal and getting maybe a more proven guy. Like, there are multiple spots on this team where, yeah, they could have tried to pursue a more experienced upgrade over Kayan Lee or Champ Anthony, Bill, or the secondary, or the spots in the secondary behind those guys, or they could have looked to the portal to instead of leaning on more of these freshmen on the front seven, you know, the defensive line than they're going to. And instead, I think Hugh Freeze shows he wants to see what kind of development the freshmen have gotten from January to now. Mm-hmm. And some of those guys who spent last year on the scout team and can jump up, like a J.C. Hart mm-hmm. or a Sylvester Smith. Like, you know, he wants to see what it looks like when they're also out there.
Well, you know, I think they went after a couple of guys in the secondary and didn't get them. But I do think they really like the talent that they've seen out there in these young guys. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you feel like that somebody in the portal has more experience but has less talent than somebody that you have. You might feel like, hey, let's see what we can do. Now, obviously, they weren't counting on Todd or Scott to get injured, or Colton Hood to transfer. I mean, they thought they had a couple of extra guys back there, but I think they're very fortunate they were able to go out and get a Jerrion Thompson. And we've heard some good things here over the last week about Jaquez Robinson, who they brought in, who's working some at nickel as well. So I like the combination you want to see, but I think hopefully you're going to get the opportunity with the first few ball games to be able to see quite a few of the young guys and get their feet wet, get them out there on the field before you have to jump into conference play or hit the road.
That's Bill Cameron. He is joining us from home. Should be back in the studio soon. With the club, right? Is that right, Bill? You're bringing the.
I'm supposed to be able to take this off, take a shower, and then put like a big Band-Aid over it. So this hopefully is the last day with the club.
I'm not going to get to see the club tomorrow. Is that what you're telling me?
Probably not.
Oh man.
Let me tell you what I'm looking forward, and so is my wife, for me to be able to take a shower tomorrow. This is just one day without. But man, I feel so greasy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and you probably need to stay out of the pool too, I imagine.
I'm not supposed to submerge the arm. Bill, it's going to be tough to get in the pool without the arm going in.
Have you seen Kennedy since the surgery?
No.
Okay. You should show up tomorrow with like a hook. You should show it tomorrow. You should show it tomorrow with, you know,
Captain Hook.
Yeah, tomorrow with a hook just for a month. All right, Bill Cameron joining us over the phone. We're on the internet. We will be back with more Coach Don Dunn in the studio. Dan Peck at the controls. And well, it loosely, a generous way of describing it. But we will be back with more. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
Let's get back to The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Drive, Dan Peck in the studio. Bill Cameron on the Skype machine joining us on the computer, and then we've got Coach Don Dunn in the house. We have both been to the new restaurant since it opened and we give I think we both rave reviews, right, Bill? So it's
excellent. And had to get the Nana Pudding when we were done.
All right. So it's outstanding stuff. And we're getting closer to football season. Bill, we talked a little bit yesterday about, and again, I hate using like weakness as the word, but like the potential vulnerabilities, the areas of concern on the team. And it does sound like the offensive line has, you know, that subject has come up a lot more in the last week or so than it did in the first few weeks of fall camp, or really much of the off season, which makes me wonder, you know, what's been going on at some of those practices that the media doesn't get to see that's caused such significant indigestion among some of those coaches.
Well, something we haven't seen an awful lot of, Dan. Though, I mean, you got to admit this: we haven't seen an awful lot of one-on-one with the O-line and the defensive line. We've seen the offensive line practicing. We've seen some 7-on-7. We haven't seen that much 11-on-11 or the O-line going against the defensive line. And obviously, from the first time we heard the concerns from Hugh Freeze, it appears that the concern is left tackle. And Don, you know that's a place where offensive coaches don't want to have a concern is that left tackle protecting the quarterback's backside.
Yeah, that's a key position, no doubt. And, that's a concern if that's a problem right now, but I'm sure they'll get that corrected. But, yeah, you're right. That's probably the most important part of the offensive line, that position.
Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, obviously, is Dylan Wade going to move back to tackle? Can Percy Lewis step it up? The transfer from Mississippi State, is Tyler Johnson going to be the guy there at left tackle? I think Dylan Wade's going to be in your starting lineup. It all just is going to depend on whether he needs to be at tackle or if they can keep him at guard, where everybody felt, you know, that's where his future lies.
It would seem to represent a pretty significant slide if Percy Lewis isn't one of your starters in the game next Saturday. That doesn't mean that he couldn't play his way back into contention for a starting spot. I mean, he could be on the field very early, but it feels like he had been working first team for so much of the offseason that if it, you know, 2-3 weeks out, if they decide it needs to be Dylan Wade moving back to left tackle and somebody like Tate Johnson or Braden Joyner playing guard instead of Percy Lewis out there, that's trending in the wrong direction right before the season starts.
The other thing that would be interesting, and I don't know how many more opportunities they'll have, is, I mean, it could be here. This would probably be your best case scenario, is that no matter who's lining up at left tackle, whoever's facing off against Auburn's edge rushers is having trouble, and then every team that Auburn plays has that same trouble. That would be the best case scenario, but apparently that's been a problem there where they just haven't been getting the consistency they were hoping there at that left tackle spot.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the offensive line holds up in pass protection, especially when you get into – and it's not as though Auburn has four games of runway and then Oklahoma comes to town or something. Like if pass protection is a problem, then the Cal game is going to be an adventure in week two. Like that's how it goes, Bill. We've seen enough seasons where pass protection is an issue, and when that's the case, the seemingly winnable games on paper can get kind of hairy when that's a vulnerability on the team. I would say that's also true of run defense, right? When run defense is a weak point, it can become
run defense is a death sentence.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
If you can't stop somebody running the ball,
it's going to be a long day.
And Auburn was—that's one that maybe hasn't been talked about enough either. I mean, Auburn was a bottom 100 run defense. Auburn was outside the top 100 in run defense, the Division I level, in the first quarter and the fourth quarter of games last year. The fourth quarter one makes sense because depth was such a problem. The first quarter one makes you wonder if you had starters that were all over the field. You had starters that were as good against the run as they needed to be a middle of the pack or better SEC defense. Now, I think the overall level of talent hard to say because you did lose Marcus Harris, that the overall level of talent has increased on the front six, front seven, but I would think that if I had to choose better or worse, I would probably guess better. But I want to see how that looks trying to stop teams that can run the ball.
Right. Yeah, you got to be able to stop the run. We all know that. Yeah, you got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to stop the run. That's not going to change. And you look at the end of the year, the teams that can do both are usually in your top five.
Well, if you can't stop up the middle on first and 10, right? Like then you're finished. Like then the fight's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's a first round knockout most of the case in those situations. And
yeah.
and I do wonder if, like in Auburn's case, I wonder if the question is, are they going to have to overload to stop the run and leave Keontae Scott and Kay and Lee and Champ Anthony in a lot of one-on-one situations because they really want to? And that's when I don't know. Like, I mean, I think that there's reason to think Auburn can take a step forward in that category. There's a lot of guys that are, they were playing their first SEC football or first college football, first D1 football, and a lot of those guys are back after another year. You've seen teams where that's really important, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like to have, I mean, that you the jump you make from your first year at the D1 level or at the Auburn / SEC level to that second year, and Auburn has a bunch of guys who are making that sort of jump, which is a reason to think that they can get better because things settle down a little bit when you're
Well, you know, something else I think that really hasn't been. We haven't talked nearly as much about the defense as we have the offense, about the changes to expect from last year's offense to this year's offense. I think you need to look also at the difference in philosophies in last year's defense and this year's defense. Ron Roberts didn't want to give up big plays, and there are a couple of players that have said they felt like they played a little vanilla and played to not give up big plays last year. Whereas D.J. Durkin's not going to play it that way. D.J. Durkin's going to attack. Mm-hmm. He's going to come after you. And that may allow a big play occasionally, but I think it's less likely that people are going to be able to find soft spots early the way they did last year. And then, as you said, in the fourth quarter, Auburn just didn't have the depth after being on the field as much as they were defensively.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. I think this defense is going to be so much more aggressive, maybe take more chances, maybe blitz a little more, not just sit back and break but don't bend philosophy. So that definitely helps when you get after them on defense.
And there are downsides to playing aggressive defense. You're putting some guys in
islands. No, you're putting them on islands.
Yeah. That's why you got to have that. Like I think I heard you talk this week, Bill, on the show about you got to have a pass rush. That's going to be a key
for us. That can hide a lot of problems.
Yes. You got to get somebody after the quarterback.
You need a pass rush, and you need defensive backs that you feel like have a fighting chance in coverage. And I do think Auburn's got both of those things.
Yep.
Whether or not it will be enough to also allow them to take a step forward in run defense, I don't know. But if you said, in order to be a better run defense, and it's almost counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying, in order to be a better run defense, Auburn needed to have a better pass rush, and they needed to have a better. They needed to have corners that could hold up in one-on-one situation, yeah. so that you can overcommit
right.
to stopping the run with some of the other guys.
Right.
And I do think Auburn has both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do think Auburn has upgraded. I mean, having McLeod back for another year, seemingly more healthy than he was last year, and then having a guy like him coming in from Arkansas State, mm-hmm. as well as some of the freshmen, like you'd think they've made some steps in the pass rush. Just a matter of seeing it out there in practice.
Yeah, for sure. It's so important, and you worry about things as a coach. Are we going to be able to stop the run? Can we get after the quarterback? Can we run the ball? Can we? You know, so many things going into this first game. A lot of anxiety for players and coaches and fans.
Bill Cameron joining us on the phone. Don Dunn here in the studio. I'm Dan Peck. 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you on the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. 334-564-1840. The number to dial, or the number to 334-564-1840 is the text line. That's sponsored by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. We're going to take our final break of hour number one. We will be back with more. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
NAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill on the phone, working from home today as he recovers, and Coach Don Dunn joining us on a Friday. Appreciate a visit from the coach. Coach, you on the grill tonight? You getting out there?
Oh yeah.
How are the? I speculated on this with Justin Ferguson on the podcast, mm-hmm. but the game day catering orders. You got five straight home games to start the year.
Yep.
I would think that's something people need to act fast on.
Yeah, you need to call in this early this week, Monday, Tuesday. I think we take them up through maybe Thursday morning. But, yeah, give Larry a call. Call the and we'll be happy to take care of you.
What's something people should have at their game day tailgate? What's something people should have or should try that they don't like? I mean,
I really like the way we do our wings. We smoke them and then deep fry them.
Is that the backfire or something? The sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I know about that. Yeah, that's some good. And, that's some good stuff there.
You know, I love the pulled pork and the ribs. I like it all. You can tell by my body shape that I like all kinds of food.
You're a protein fan.
Yeah.
You enjoy your protein. Absolutely. Now, I mean, Bill, that's solid advice from the coach, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can't go wrong. So, looking forward to that as well. Hey, So I guess we're probably not hearing from Barrett. It sounds like Ireland
won.
He probably was too busy with karaoke in some pub.
Yeah, Dublin won. All right, we did not get to hear from Barrett today. Hopefully he's able to join us at some point. Before the end of the college football season.
He's going to be on the air, in just 5 hours or 5 or 6 hours on Sirius. So
he's doing his show from 6 a.m. Dublin time?
Yes. He's going to be on early over there. That's what he said. So, yeah, I was thinking if he called us, he was going to have to be pulling an all-nighter anyway. So it might be entertaining to listen to Barrett in the morning if he can wake up that early or stay up on.
Yeah, and then I can't wait to hear his analysis of the the game at that point, right? Because he's gonna be operating on relatively little sleep, I think, at that point. Yeah. Our old pal,
hopefully, maybe a little further removed from the tour of the Guinness. what did he say it was? It's the Guinness.
It's not the brewery, right? Is it like a tasting room or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, we didn't really talk about this too much. Maybe we can get into a little bit in hour number two. What's this with the Miami of Ohio coach, right? Getting a little bit spicy about Alabama taking the kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the story?
No, I didn't see that.
I'll show it to you during the commercial break, Coach.
You know what happens, that schools contact players while they're before they're in the transfer portal, and that's exactly what the Miami of Ohio coach is alleging, that his kicker, who won the Grosso Award last year and now is at Alabama, was contacted well before he entered the transfer portal. But, yeah. I mean, you know that goes on. You just got to go through the channels that that don't involve, you know, anyone who is directly connected to the athletic department.
A slight dispute between a couple of coaches about
hey, I want to talk about something else in hour number two. Did you see Ross Dellinger's story about the transfer portal?
About the spring windows. We will talk about that a little bit, Bill. So music is playing, so we will be right back with hour number two. This is The Drive.
The Edward.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Almost got that one wrong, Coach. It's been a busy week, but
yep.
Coach Don Dunn in the house with me. I'm Dan Peck. Thank you so much for joining us today on, just a beautiful, beautiful last couple of days. Hot, but cooling off a little bit. You know, it's the fake fall.
Yeah, right? Fake fall. Exactly. Fake, it's going to be 100 next week.
Yeah, your fake fall. That's going to get kids convinced they can break out the sweaters.
Yeah.
And then a rude awakening next week, as you're right. It'll get right back into feeling like triple digits. It's nice weather for a high school football game. I mean, if you're maybe hydrate a little bit, you know, be ready tonight. But it's should be a lot of fun at the Duck tonight. That one on Wings 94.3. Some Auburn high school football action getting started, and then Auburn University playing their first game of the season 1 week from tomorrow. That one also on Wings 94.3. So yeah, it's the off season. Whatever, maybe there's like one or two little pieces of sand still in the hourglass, but it's mostly over. It's mostly over, and college football season getting started tomorrow.
Yeah, exciting day tomorrow. I'm anxious to watch that game. 11 a.m. I believe kickoff.
Yep. Yeah, want to see how Florida State bounces back from a tough ending to a nearly perfect season. They did go get DJ Uiagalelei. Who's returning to the ACC after his uneven time at Clemson, but an outstanding season at Oregon State last year, and now DJU has Florida State. You know, that's a team a lot of people. It's been pretty, especially when you think about the top four seeds being conference champions. A lot of people think Florida State could be one of those teams. You know, an undefeated ACC champion isn't being left out of the college football playoff this year. This year, an undefeated ACC champion is probably at worst the fourth overall seed on the board.
Yeah, you're right. I can't imagine them being any lower than four if they're unbeaten in the ACC. Mike Norvell's done a really good job recruiting, bringing talent in there, and slowly bringing that program up. There were some folks wondering, you know, what's taking so long, but man, that program was in trouble when he got in there,
people have like forgotten the Willie Taggart era of Florida State football it seemed totally sensible, right? Like this is a guy who was doing well at the Power Five level, experienced college football coach, local guy, you know, reasons to think it could work, and sometimes those implode, and it's sort of a shocking thing, and I think that Willie Taggart, I mean the end of Jimbo was shocking enough, you know, seeing them go from the best team at one point in college football, or you know, and one of them for most of Jimbo's tenure, into what they became that last season. And then, you know, to see it continue for Taggart and the beginning of Norvell, Like he was under some pretty intense pressure to get this thing to get this thing going in the right direction. If you think about, was the LSU game 2 years ago, right? Was that, you know, there was a lot of thought that if Florida State didn't deliver in that game, then it would maybe be curtains for Norvell, and it would be on to whoever the next, you know, potential rescuer of Florida State football could be. But instead, yeah, here we are with Florida State back in the conversation, despite the way things finished last year, still in the conversation to be one of the real contenders this year. And I think that probably that requires a good showing tomorrow in Dublin against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and I mean the way it ended last year after losing Jordan Travis, you knew that the committee would do whatever they could to keep them from being in the playoff because they didn't feel like they had a chance, and they were probably right. But then try to imagine that you're a Florida State player or coach when that word comes out. And a lot of folks said, well, Georgia justified Florida State not being in it. Florida State didn't want to be there. I mean, they could care less about that. They had players that were, just holding themselves out of that ball game. I mean, it was terrible, and it's really a shame. And now at least we've got with the 12-team playoff, you're still – teams like that won't at least be completely bumped out. They may get dropped down, but they're not going to get locked out the way Florida State did a year ago.
If you believe Florida State should have been excluded from the college football playoff, you're entitled to that belief. But the notion that the bowl game proved it is that's – You know, I mean that's laughable. You know, what I mean, like that's not. What do we use the bowl games to prove? You know, I mean, outside of the playoff bowl games, which can prove it, which can prove a thing or two. The rest of these, no, that's not. I don't think that's. I mean, it does. And it's too bad too because Florida. I mean, I was always of the opinion that Florida State probably should have. I don't know the rules here. I think they should have just declined a bowl bid once they were left out of the college football playoff. Some people would say that's sore loser behavior, but like to me, you won the conference. If you let someone who's more excited to be there be in the bowl game that wants Florida State.
I've heard a lot of people talking about similar things now with what do conference championships mean and declining invitations to that. I don't know that any of the power leagues are going to allow their teams to decline big time bowl games. I mean, maybe when it comes down and it's at the end of the line type thing, but I think a conference is really going to be doing everything they can to make sure that they've got a team in a Sugar Bowl or.
But the big time bowl games are playoff games now, right? Like I would think that the six games we would think of as big time bowl games. Are your?
Well, are they are now, but yeah. They weren't last year.
No, they weren't. They weren't. No, they're.
Yeah,
I'm sure there were financial considerations in there too. Although I would imagine that there would just be another ACC team going. You know, if Florida State had declined, you know, the Sugar Bowl opportunity, you know, it would have been, you know, next Louisville or somebody else would have gone in their place. But I was just after seeing them excluded from the playoff, I would have been fine with, you know what, call it a season. You're 13-0. You're ACC champion. You're undefeated. And you know you get a ticker tape parade in Tallahassee or whatever for a great season or whatever. Like I thought they had very little to gain from the bowl game and a whole lot to lose because of that attitude that you were just talking about, Bill. The notion that like, oh well, you didn't show up in the bowl game. They were right to leave it. And look, if they'd gone and shown, you know, if they'd shown up in the bowl game too. But I just thought that was. Especially in an era where bowl games are careening towards the non-playoff bowl games, are feeling less and less.
How can they continue? I guess ESPN is gonna keep them going because they need material to fill their time.
It's either that or
Don, you're a coach. What kind of incentive is there now for bowl games? You want young guys to get some practice time. But that's not the most exciting thing for the players.
No, I think the smaller schools, the Western Kentuckys, like where I was at, more incentive for them because realistically they don't really have a shot for the playoffs. But you're right. If you're not in the playoffs now in a Division I big-time program, it's a disappointment to fans, to the coaches, the players. So I look for maybe some of these bowls to take, you know, smaller schools maybe. I don't know.
If your program hasn't been in even a bowl game for a long time, I could see how suddenly a Vanderbilt. Right. And I could see how suddenly a 7 or 8 win season, even if you're not near the college football playoff, could still result in sort of an exciting postseason. But I feel like those are rare exceptions to what we're talking about in college football compared to a lot of schools that win 6 or 7 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to feel less special than it used to to win 6 or 7 because you're bowl eligible, but you're not in the college football playoff, which is the postseason that I think folks are going to be really actively paying attention to as opposed to the as opposed to the bowl games. And I mean to answer your question, Bill, I think it's, you know, ESPN's, it's either that or poker. Right, for ESPN on, you know, on these you know, December nights when,
hey, you know what I'd rather watch now? I mean, and that can sort of lead into the thing I was talking about there at the end. All right, if there's only going to be one transfer window and it's going to be like December 9th to January 7th, I'd rather be watching news of guys going in the portal and things like that than hearing about some of the matchups in these meaningless bowl games.
Have two guys
aren't going to be playing in those games.
You want two guys at like a news desk, like an old school, you know, the old school CNN desk. And just get
player movement. I want reports on that every day.
Like a stock ticker. You want guys doing it like the
oh,
yeah.
Who's in today?
Oh man, you know you're right. You're at, you know, absolutely in December you could just flip on the live ticker and the desk and go live 24/7 with portal news, because especially if they get rid of the, which, glad you mentioned
it, Bill. Going to, Dan. When they first started talking about just a 30 day window. We were thinking, well, it can't be 15 in December and then 15 again at the end of the year. I understand what they're doing now. They're going to make it a little tougher. They're going to say, hey, if you want immediate eligibility, you're going to go in the portal in December. Because if you wait till after that, if you wait till after spring practice, you're going to have to sit out a year.
Which I imagine coaches would tell you. Like, guys probably,
well, they'd love that.
Undergraduates probably shouldn't go through spring practice and then reopen their recruitment and say, right, "Well, who wants me? And what's the best offer going to be?" I could see if you want to leave that option exclusively up to graduate transfers. If you want to say that a graduate transfer, you know, someone getting their degree in May can switch teams and retain their immediate eligibility. That feels a little bit different than first or second year player who wants to make a jump, you know, or use leverage to get a better deal out of their current school, you know, by threatening the portal. It takes a little bit of negotiating leverage away from the players because they don't have that option to leave in the spring. But players would still have ample opportunity to pick where they want to go and negotiate with that school and the other people around that school, and it would also, you're right, it would probably take away a lot of concern coaches have about how they're going to preserve their rosters
after
the window closes.
You know what's interesting though, I mean, and I want to hear Don's thoughts on this in a second. I mean, I think coaches are going to want that, but it's going to be more coaches at schools that have pretty good rosters. Because look at the situation. Look at the players Auburn picked up after spring this year that we've talked about here, really having big ball. Isaiah Rakes and Philip Bleedy on the defensive front. Keyron Crawford. I mean, my goodness, those are three players that are going to play a lot. Keandre Lambert-Smith. Those guys all came in after spring. And are any of those guys grad transfers?
Maybe Lambert Smith would be that, just because he's been around longer than the others, but I'm pretty sure Kieron is not.
Graduate. Yeah, so I mean, those are guys that would not be eligible at Auburn under this proposed new rule, which apparently the plan is for it to take effect this year.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I would imagine you're not yanking the eligibility off of guys that join teams
in
the spring.
No, it would be starting this fall. is what it would be. It's like players would still have the opportunity. It's like, hey, let them all know before the season starts that if you're planning on transferring and you want to be eligible next year, you're going to have to do it by January whatever.
Which would be the end of the first week of January. It would be a little bit more similar to the – I mean, it would get you away from the Wild West of – players can join the portal whenever they want, because that was, I mean, I feel like that was verging on a crisis for college football. Oh, yes. When you were talking about like guys in, I mean, Auburn had a backup quarterback, Bill, who announced 5 or 6 weeks into the season that he was going to go into the portal and step away from the team to preserve his eligibility for the rest of the year a couple of years ago. And like situations like that feel like they're against the best interests of the sport. Sure. or the players, even the players themselves in that situation. Like it's and even if we're talking about like a bowl game is a different thing to sort of opt out of than the last 6 or 8 weeks of a season. So when you have, I mean, and I guess we still have players who are announcing, you know, I intend to enter the portal and I'm not going to play until then. We're not seeing nearly as many of those because there's not the incentive that there was before, because previously you could open your recruitment in the middle of the season. You could decide 3 weeks into the season you didn't like where you were and you wanted to start being recruited by different programs with the intention of going somewhere in January, and that felt against the spirit of what college football is supposed to be. You know, so I'm glad that there's, you know, and I think, you know, a portal. An ample portal window is the right thing. A 24/7 365 portal was probably an error, and which is why they've reversed course on it. And now, yeah, I think a spring portal window for undergraduates is probably. I mean, there are good arguments as to why something like that shouldn't exist, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if it's legally challenged, though, because if it is, I can't imagine them winning.
Well,
I would think that
NCAA does have like the record of the Globetrotters' opponents in court,
yep,
right?
The Washington Generals.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA goes in there, and the attorneys for the other team, they will spin the ball on their fingers and climb ladders in court and stuff like that.
Early kneel them. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what's been, yeah. So I mean, so yeah, you would think the NCAA would be a significant underdog in a legal challenge, just because that's been the case of late. Whenever any of these rules get challenged and mm-hmm. get in front of a judge, but no, I think that if you get the sides to agree on something like that, like and maybe you got to give a couple extra days in the fall portal, right? Like maybe you got to extend the December window a little bit in order to justify eliminating the spring window entirely. I still think that the dates are wonky for the December window because of the existence of the playoff, right?
Like, well, now, the playoff, yeah. and your sign and the signing period.
Yeah,
you've got the signing period, you've got playoffs, and then we were talking about the meaningless bowls. But I mean, you've got practices and playoff and signing period and transfer portal all at the same time.
The what we're going to see, I suspect, Bill, is more programs dealing with what Washington is dealing with right now, which is you go on and out, you have a great season. Maybe you're senior laden, although there are plenty of guys in Washington that had an extra year of eligibility. But you have a team like that. You go deep into the playoffs. After you're eliminated from the playoffs, your coach goes somewhere else, and your new coach is going to have a real hard time, like filling in, because a lot of the guys that he would have gone after in the portal have already signed by the time. I mean, you think about like, and this isn't to say Kalen DeBoer did the wrong thing by going. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like in a situation where a coach after the playoff leaves for another job, that program he's leaving behind is going to have like they're in the danger zone, mm-hmm. right there, because you could have an exodus of players. They can all leave, and your options to replace them are extremely limited.
By other schools.
Yes, yep. by the time it's mid January or late January, your options to replace them could be gone, and that's why we're looking at Washington as a team that lost the national championship game last year, mm-hmm. and they are, I mean, they're barely receiving votes in the preseason poll. I mean, it's unusual for the team that lost the national championship game to be a complete afterthought in the polls a year later. Feels like now it's happening. I mean, you also had, I mean, TCU. Doesn't it feel like it was a long time ago that TCU, and,
oh,
and they,
sure
didn't, they didn't have a coaching change. But, like, the thought that TCU was in the, and I know that it's generous to say they were in the national championship game,
yeah,
because they, I mean, they
they weren't.
They were until
their team was there.
Yeah. They had, some of them.
They attended the national championship game that year against Georgia. But, no, it's I mean, that is, like, it's, and maybe that's the cost of a miracle season. Like, maybe that's the cost of a dream season for some of these programs is.
What is it going to be like the Marlins?
I mean, it's going to resemble the Miami Marlins, Bill. You're right. Except, although the Marlins actually won. Like, we're talking about Washington and TCU. Like, they got close. They got very close, yeah. But not didn't actually get over the top. But no, I would think that, and that is that's an issue where getting rid of the spring portal would make it even tougher for those coaches trying to. I mean. Because then, you know, now you have fewer options to lure undergraduates from other programs.
You're trying to help everybody graduate now.
Yeah. Now you're loading up on one and done players, which is a dangerous thing. Hugh Freeze talked about that last year, right? Because all those one and done players, I mean, that puts you on the treadmill. Yeah. Unless you can find, I mean, you do have the December portal window at least to let, you know, to try to replace some of those one and duns with younger players, but it's something where if they change those rules, Hugh Freeze will be glad to have gotten to Auburn when he did, because it would have been a lot tougher under those rules to resuscitate the, how's that for the word to use, Bill, to resuscitate the Auburn roster that he inherited after the 22 season.
Oh yeah, and very thankful for the recruits that he's been able to bring in. Hey, have you looked at the recruiting rankings?
I thought you were going to say very thankful for the folks at the orthopedic clinic. Speaking of resuscitation.
Well, they are the sponsor of hour number two of the drive, the orthopedic clinic, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. That's East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care. Find them online at orthoclinic.com. Thanks for the lead-in.
That's right. And you can call the show 334-321-1390 on the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Love our pals at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. We're going to take a break. We will be back with more. You are listening to the second hour of the Friday edition of The Drive.
ESPN 1067 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill on the phone joining us from home as he recovers. And Coach Don Dunn in the house getting ready to burn the midnight wood, as we were saying earlier in the show. And some great stuff there at the New Countries location. So thanks for joining us, Coach.
Thank you. We're
getting ready. You know, one underappreciated part of this upcoming season, Bill, the farewell tour for the scoreboard. Right, like that's. I mean,
it's not underappreciated. It's funny. I mean, I get asked about it weekly by Wimp and Barry Sanderson. Other people are like, "When is that thing coming down?" So, I think there'll be a lot of folks happy to see it come down, and maybe it winds up. I wonder if it winds up at another facility as a second scoreboard, or they just take bids for it for somebody to have in their backyard.
How big? I mean, is it too big to display somewhere in one of the football complexes? Could you not find a home for it on one of those? Like, I wonder if
probably could. Yeah,
pretty,
you know what?
Pretty huge.
Probably could there at the end of the field at the practice field.
Yeah, I think one of the two. You know, finding a home for it somewhere in there, I think would be pretty cool. That's something I really like about about the new country's location is some of the mementos and some of the stuff that Justin and I were sitting under the giant Sundrop sign, mm-hmm. which clearly was not made this year.
No,
right? I don't like when a brand new place is trying to look
old,
vintagey, and old, yes. and you know, and it's like no. Put new stuff up because you're a new place, and then 40 years from now, if you're still in business, that new stuff is going to look vintagey and old and be a relic of the time when you opened. And Countries, I think, has a lot of that. I mean, that's earned memorabilia on the game worn jerseys.
Yeah, it was Kennedy's first trip, and she loved the big red rocket.
Oh yeah.
Outstanding stuff there. So we're looking forward to the start of Auburn University football season, Auburn High School football season getting underway on Wings 94.3. That is tonight with Jacob and the gang. Jacob Goins stepping in, succeeding Scott Bagwell, who we talked about a little bit yesterday. Bill, I want to give you a chance to echo these thoughts of because Ferguson mentioned it too. Scott Bagwell, who did an excellent job as the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers for several seasons before stepping down this off season, but a new era with Jacob stepping to the microphone.
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, Scott knew. I mean, the thing is, growing up here, and going to Auburn High and being a part of the program, and just for years, and it being in the family really for him. You could just feel his emotions for Auburn High, and he knew. I mean, he knew all the players. He'd helped coach them when they were, in junior high. So I mean, he knew all these kids as they grew up, and it was great. And yeah, he'll be missed. I'm sure Jacob will step right in. But I mean, great run by Scott and some great Auburn High teams, and look like they're loaded again.
Those are big shoes to fill for Jacob. Some luminaries have called games for that team over the last couple of years.
And then just some other jokers as well.
I think
I have three different tenures as play-by-play.
You're like Billy Martin with the
I'm Billy Martin. Fired? No, I'm rehired. It's like, oh yeah. Actually, I wasn't fired any time.
That's the one key difference. Billy Martin didn't leave on the same terms.
You're right about that.
Single time. Those are. I gotta stop talking about the fact that I'm just like binging old Seinfelds. But the Steinbrenner portrayal on, and maybe you know what, Bill, indulge me for a second. Like maybe the funniest moment in Seinfeld history is a sports moment, which is there's been an accident at work. And the Yankees management thinks that George Costanza has passed away. So Mr. Costanza goes to George's parents' house to break the news to them. And as he's telling them, you can see George's father, Jerry Stiller, Frank Costanza, is just stewing. He's stewing as George Steinbrenner is telling him about the fate of George Costanza. And finally, Frank Costanza can take no more. And he shouts out, "How could you trade Jay Buhner? He had a rocket for an arm." He had 100 RBIs. He had 100 RBIs last year. He had a rocket for an arm. You don't know what you're doing.
Stupid trade to the Mariners. You're right about that. He was right.
It's outstanding stuff from Scott. I mean, Scott was great. An excellent broadcaster. Okay, person. Excellent broadcaster. It's.
I don't know. Well, I mean, you and my Scott had him for roommates. So
no, I mean, it's more of that. Those games were so much fun to listen to with Scott and the gang, and I'm sure that will continue with Jacob and everybody on Wings 94.3. So you're not going to want to miss Auburn High School football tonight. Should be a big season. That region is
loaded.
Yeah, I mean it is.
It's like the SEC.
It really is. I mean, that region is full of teams that can really do damage, and it is a minefield of a schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, Central, of course, just finally broke Thompson's stranglehold on the state championship last year, but I mean, just making it. The Enterprise has gotten so much better over the last few years than Opelika, and I mean, it is absolutely a gauntlet.
Bill, I do. We teased it a little bit at the end of hour number one, and Coach Dunn had not seen the story. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Miami of Ohio coach just taking a flamethrower to Kalen DeBoer in Alabama about the recruitment of his kicker? Astonishing things to see a Division I coach say about, I mean, and maybe not anymore in this new era, but like I would say not all that long ago, the quotes from the Miami of Ohio coach about Kalen DeBoer and the way that Alabama recruited the Miami of Ohio kicker away from Miami of Ohio, like those would have been astonishing quotes from a coach about another coach. Not all that long ago. You're in the fraternity, Coach.
Yeah, like, that's pretty much unheard of. But now, I mean, I think you're going to see more of it.
You're going to see more hurt feelings in the transfer portal for sure.
You're going to see.
Well, the thing is, when you have, the thing is, Miami had found and seen Graham Nicholson become, a great kicker, one of the best kickers in the country, and sure, they're going to be hurt feelings when somebody like that leaves to go to any bigger school, but Alabama. They just felt like Alabama, and I don't know that if we continue with Chuck Martin, if you ask him more, I'm sure he feels like other schools were contacting Graham Nicholson or his representatives, but he said, quote, Alabama stole our kicker. That's what he had to say.
It was a shocking story. I mean, we'll read the quotes when we come back because we got to take a break for the bottom of the hour. Bill Cameron joining us on the phone. Coach Don Dunn in the house. Dan Peck in the studio as well at the controls. So it's my fault when things go wrong today. But it's, things going okay so far as a well-deserved day off for our buddy Drew, and we'll all be ready to go next week.
It's been a long first week of classes, I can tell you.
It has, and we'll be ready to go with game week next week. So stick around, more Drive coming up.
Email the Drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of the Drive. I keep looking over to you. I'm like, Coach, what day? No, it's still Friday.
Yep.
as we get ready for the first high school game of the season coming up later tonight on Wings 94.3. First college football action of the season tomorrow, including Dublin, Ireland hosting Georgia Tech and Florida State, getting started bright and early tomorrow morning. And then next week, Auburn University football, the season getting underway, Auburn and Alabama A&M, that game Saturday night on Wings 94.3. You're not going to want to miss it with Andy and company. Andy and Jason, another year in the booth. I thought Jason was excellent last year. Guy, you've met him a couple of times. Quarterback you teamed a couple years there, it should be a really fun season and a lot of exciting things happening here in the area, including the high school action going on tonight. We got Bill Cameron on the phone, and we've got a caller hanging on. Uncle Ollie joining the show. What's up, Uncle?
Hey, gentlemen, how are y'all?
Great.
Good. Hey. Couple of things. One, I was just over in Dublin, and they don't care about soccer, which is European football. It's all about rugby over there. They do not care about football. It's all about rugby. But anyway,
I've never been there, Uncle Ollie, but I would guess that they feel like rugby is a little more of a man's game, right?
It is, but listen, if you turn on the TV at night, there's two sports you will see every night. Rugby, and this is...
Are you about to say darts?
No, okay, listen, you can YouTube it and look it up. They play a sport called hurling.
Oh, yeah.
And it is like crazy nuts. You're talking about athletic... You watch those guys that play hurling, it's amazing what they can do. Just look it up. They're basically running around with long wooden spoons that don't have a spoon. It's a flat paddle.
It sort of looks like lacrosse without the net in the paddle or whatever.
Yeah, it's sort of got field hockey and sort of elements to it too. Yeah,
and it has crossbars, and those guys will like literally 70 yards away, they'll bounce the ball and hit it with their paddle and go through the uprights. It's nuts. And it's on every night. That and rugby. That's their sports.
and the ball is called a slitter.
You got me there.
I gotta be careful. You know, let's just call it a hurling ball. So I can keep my job.
Yeah, the reason I called was I was going to call about something I heard Jacob and them talking about recruiting back when Dye took the job. And I'll just mention this briefly because there's something else I want to get to. But they were talking about in 82 when Bo, you know, signed with Auburn. And the crazy thing about that, he wasn't the number one player in the state. And I know Bill won that.
Number four, Uncle Ollie.
Do what?
I believe he was number four on the. I've still got a couple of those lists. Yeah, Allen Evans was the number one guy back then.
Allen Evans. That's exactly right. And Allen Evans, unfortunately, came in the same class with Bo Jackson.
But
the reason I called was, that's why I called. But when y'all started talking about Billy Martin, it just brought back some memories. I had a first cousin that played in the Detroit Tigers organization. And actually played for the Montgomery Rebels. And I have two signed baseballs. One is from the Montgomery Rebels in 1969. The catcher was Jim Leland.
Uh-huh.
And then he went to Detroit and played. He was a relief pitcher. And I have a signed baseball. And Billy Martin was the manager.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's
and,
cool.
And Al Kaline, Gates Brown. Mm. Norm Cash, all those greats were on that baseball. But my memory is my cousin told me he was pitching against the Baltimore Orioles, and Billy Martin came out and told him to hit Boog Powell, to hit him. Yeah, I want you to hit Boog. And my cousin was like, I'm not hitting him. That guy's big. He's going to come at me. He said, I'm telling you, hit him. And my cousin would not do it. But he just couldn't do it. He could not bring himself to being Boog Powell.
Yeah, Boog was a large human being. I got to meet him, as a matter of fact, way back in the 80s when I was doing Auburn University baseball, and Boog came through town promoting Miller Lite. And I've got a picture. Dan's seen that picture of Paul Ellen and me with Boog Powell sitting in between us.
That's right.
Up in the aluminum stands.
Yeah. But that was the great days of baseball, though. I mean, really and truly, if you think about those guys, I mean, that was the great days. I don't know. Maybe I'm old school. It just seems so different.
Well, it's easy to romanticize the baseball of your youth and think that that's like the great baseball that was played, right?
But Boog Powell and Brooks Robinson, all those guys were with the Orioles forever. Now, in 3 years, they're gone.
Free agency changed a lot. I mean, there's any number of things you could point to, right? That are like, oh, that's a moment where the sport, this, you know, the philosophies about different, the importance of different aspects of the game, right? You know, things. I still consume it pretty obsessively. You know, I can't lament previous eras as though it was way better than it is now, because I still think baseball's pretty great. But
baseball's great, but Uncle Ollie's right. I mean, you would know some players, you'd see them come up through the minors, and you know that unless they got traded, man, you're gonna have these guys forever. Talking about the Orioles, look, I didn't like the Orioles, I was a Yankees fan, but I mean, I can remember Paul Blair and Mark Belanger and Brooks and Frank Robinson and Boog Powell, and man, I mean, the I can remember the you knew the lineups of teams. Now it's really difficult from year to year to have an idea who's on most teams.
Although we do have a player. I mean, since we're talking about this, there's a player who took every at bat of his career for the Cincinnati Reds. In the news in the last day or so, Joey Votto retiring after a sensational. Yeah. Sensational career. I mean, that's a what? I mean, to have a what 42 for a 420 on base, 415 on base for a career playing as much as he did. But you're right. I mean, he's the exception. You don't have guys back, like that.
But going back to what Bill said, here's the deal. I remember when Rod Carew left the Twins and went to the California Angels. That was sacrilege.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
you didn't do that. So, in other words, that maybe I'm old, and which brings up another point. I remember, I was listening earlier today, Jacob said he made the comment, well, I'm old school. Dude, you're how old? How old school can you be?
Man, I've got shoes.
It's a philosophy, though, right? I mean, it's appreciating.
I understand. But when I heard him say that, I'm thinking, dude. When you're 65, you're old school.
Yeah.
When you're 22,
can't help it.
No. When you're 65, you're old, right? Like it's different, right? Like when you can be old school in your 20s or 30s. That's the difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this, Dan, before I leave. Our connection between me and you is Coach Hicks, and that's my brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
So every time I call you, I think about old Coach Hicks, so he's still kicking.
tell him I said hi. Tommy Joe's doing great work down in Mosley, buddy from high school.
Well.
And that's a great family.
Yeah. All right, y'all be good.
Appreciate it, Uncle Ollie. Great stuff. Fun call there from our pal Uncle Ollie. No, but I mean, guys like Votto, and I mean, I guess it was pretty shocking when Freeman, when Freddie left the Braves and went to the Dodgers a couple years ago. But you don't have guys who the thought of you're going to spend your whole career with this one team. Mm-hmm. Although guys are, I guess it's happening more in baseball than in other sports because baseball teams will lock a guy up for a 12 or 15 year deal pretty early on in their careers, and you expect them to play virtually their whole careers. But I mean, you don't have that. I'm thinking about like veteran baseball players, Bill, guys that you think of as Hall of Famers now that have played their whole career for one team, right? Like a Votto. I mean, I guess Trout would be in that conversation.
So far,
Kershaw
been with the Angels.
Kershaw's been
right. Clayton's what, 36 and just been with one team.
There aren't that many of them, though. I mean, there aren't that many guys that you think of as. I mean, and I guess there weren't even that many. I mean, there were fewer of them in the 90s and 2000s. Free agency started to make that less common. I mean, you had more of them in the 90s, right? You had your Chipper Jones, your Derek Jeter. Tony Gwynn, some prominent guys that played, just for one. Cal Ripken, played just for the one team in their careers. But it's less common than it used to be, and especially if you start your career. Not that Freddie started his career on a franchise that was struggling. The Braves had a degree of success before Freddie got there. But some of these guys, it's like I can't blame a guy for
they want to win a title.
I can't blame Ohtani for weighing his options and deciding he doesn't want to spend his whole career just on that one team if he's got bigger aspirations. All right, we're going to take a break and come back to wrap things up. Bill Cameron joining us on the phone. Coach Don Dunn in the house as well. Dan Peck here in the studio. This is The Drive.
At 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show as the music about to start playing here on the Friday edition of The Drive. I want to say thanks to Coach Don Dunn for dropping in, getting your busy Friday evening underway as you'll be hitting the grill pretty soon there. And folks, again, still time to get their catering orders in.
For sure.
Yeah, that is something you will not regret. 5 home games. And maybe you make the sides yourself, and you let someone else handle handle the heavy lifting with the proteins. Maybe you're going to handle the proteins yourself, and you want to let someone else handle the heavy lifting of the side dishes.
Yep.
I mean, either way, I think you're going to want to call our good friends at Country's and definitely check out the new location as well, the beautiful new store on Opelika Road. And you can park at the old King Honda, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Parking
still,
at the old...
Hopefully this week they'll pave the new parking lot, you know, where the old building was.
Sure.
Yep.
And then so you can ample parking. You can find some. I parked in a delivery spot. I feel like that King Honda building probably wasn't taking any deliveries anytime soon.
I don't think so.
So
I hope not.
I felt okay. Bill, you're gonna be back Monday.
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, we've got baby shower for granddaughter number two. Coming up tomorrow. And hey, wanted to.
I did RSVP to that. I will be attending.
Yeah, at least the last time we spoke, I think Don's going to be with us every Friday during football season, right, Coach?
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, we are too.
That's going to come in handy. We're going to need you, Coach. I just learned a little bit about Troy's schedule for November and December, and I will be
okay.
I told Bill a little bit. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say on the air yet because they haven't announced anything. But let's just say.
He's gonna be spanning the globe.
Yeah,
wide world of sports.
I mean, there were 45 or 46 states I might have guessed I'd go to before a couple that are on the schedule.
Wow.
This season for the Troy Trojans and so it should be a really fun should be a really fun time. But
great.
But Coach, thank you guys. Thank you for making time for us and that's the music. We will we will talk to you again on Monday for Bill Cameron and for Coach Don Dunn. Enjoy your high school football on Wings 94.3. Dan Peck signing off. Good night.